Open your Bibles to John chapter 18. We'll spend a few moments together in the Word, in the Gospel of John. John chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. Then I'm going to skip down and read verses 25 through 27. It says John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. And then I'll jump down to verses 25 through 27. Here's a reading from the Gospel of John. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, verse 25, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Growing up in Buffalo, in the church I grew up in, the Linwood Church of Christ, one of the things that's constant even to this day, in fact, in a couple of weeks, I think we'll be there for it, they have an annual gospel meeting, homecoming. And on that annual gospel meeting, homecoming, and some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with those at churches you grew up in, we would highlight that week by inviting in some prominent preacher in our brotherhood. And so for me, those names like Jack Evans, who's the president of Southwestern Christian College, would come in and preach that week. And man, I love to hear Jack Evans preach. He was just so dynamic and so powerful and so funny. We would bring in guys like Eugene Lawton or Dr. R.C. Wells, a prominent African-American preacher in Harlem, New York. And these guys were just captivating. They just had the cadence. They had the style. And most importantly, they had the Word of God. Most times they wouldn't even have to open the Bible because they just memorized huge portions of the Bible, and they would just preach it, and they would just, we would respond with amens, and just wonderful things would happen that week. When I went to college, I had the opportunity of hearing Jimmy Allen. How many people here have heard Jimmy Allen preach? If you've heard Jimmy Allen preach, you know Jimmy Allen, just a powerful, powerful, powerful preacher. And one thing you know is going to happen at a Jimmy Allen gospel meeting is what? You're going to sing what song? Just As I Am. All 875 verses of Just As I Am. Jimmy Allen would preach and we would sing that song, and he would just one more time until someone was going to become, get baptized. You know, I was already baptized and we had sung 840 verses. I said, "Listen, I'll be baptized again. Can we stop singing a song?" I just had the opportunity. We grow up in our churches hearing these great, great preachers, and we just have such a fond memory of these great preachers. Have I ever told you about a preacher that just had it? I'm talking about a preacher who electrified crowds with stirring messages about Jesus Christ. A preacher whose first gospel sermon led to the conversion of over 3,000 people. Now, I've been to gospel meetings, and there were times that we were fortunate at the end of the week to say that, man, we had 20 conversions, 30 conversions, but not 3,000. And it didn't stop there. This preacher continued to preach the gospel message to all who would hear, and given the opposition to his message, he was thrown in jail. During his trial, he preached more about Jesus. He was released from prison. And in direct opposition to the order of the court to cease from speaking the name of Jesus, he preached more about Jesus. And he continued to preach Jesus. Have I told you about a preacher who was bold, who was brave and courageous. He didn't hide the fact that he was a passionate follower of Jesus. He didn't fear the sentence of death he could have received for preaching Jesus. He was a powerful preacher. And his name was Peter. The Apostle Peter, one of the greatest preachers we have ever known. And yet the story of Peter is one that is full of drama and ups and downs. The Gospel of John isn't limited on information about Peter. In fact, as I stated earlier, Peter emerges as one of the main characters in the Gospel of John. We're introduced to Peter early in this gospel. He is one of the first followers of Jesus in chapter 1. His name was changed from Simon to Peter. His name change signifies to us that Jesus took interest in him, special interest in him. Jesus had big plans for Peter. And he made Peter into something that he formerly was not. A former fisherman was now going to become a fisher of men. Jesus and Peter's first encounter meant that Peter was going to become a follower of Jesus. Next, we read of Peter in this gospel in a prominent way in chapter 6. After a crowd turned away from Jesus and decided not to follow Jesus any longer because his teaching seemed to be too hard, it was Peter who responded to Jesus, who asked if they were going to leave too. Peter said in chapter 6, verses 68 through 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, Peter was a follower of Jesus. It was Peter who at the Last Supper was so overwhelmed by Jesus' humble act of washing feet. He was so overwhelmed that he tried to prevent Jesus from touching his feet. But when Jesus said to him in chapter 13, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you will have no part with me," Peter said, whoa, hey. If that's the case, then not only wash my feet, wash my hands and my head as well. You see, Peter was a follower of Jesus. After Jesus explained he was going away, Peter expressed interest or intent to follow Jesus, even if it meant death for Peter. Peter said in chapter 13, later on in that chapter, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." It was here at this scene where Jesus made a prediction that probably would have rocked Peter. Jesus said that before a rooster crowed, he would deny him three times. Jesus said of Peter that Peter would deny Jesus three times. Peter surely would have stood up in protest. No, I would never deny you. Peter would never do that because Peter was a follower of Jesus. It was Peter during the arrest of Jesus in the garden who was ready to fight, church. It was Peter who was not going to let this arrest of Jesus go down without a fight. Yeah, they came to grab Jesus and Peter had a sword on him, the text says. Text says he took his sword and he struck the ear off of the high priest's servant Malchus. Some say that cutting off the ear symbolized something. Some say that he was going for Malchus's head and only got his ear. Peter was ready to fight because Peter was a follower of Jesus. And even after Jesus was taken, Peter continued to follow. In verse 15 of our text, Peter and another disciple were following. And it was here that Jesus' prediction of denial would begin to be fulfilled. Peter asked if he was One of Jesus' disciples, Peter, quickly responds with, I am not. Later on, Peter would answer the same way when questioned about his association with Jesus. The final denial came after a relative of the victim of the ear attack recognized Peter and said, that's one of them. You were with them in the olive grove. Again, Peter denied it, and the rooster crowed. Now, this gospel doesn't go into the emotion of Peter like the others, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But can't you imagine how Peter must have felt? Can't you imagine the gamut of emotions that must have been flowing through? I mean, Peter was a follower of Jesus. He talked the talk, but when push came to shove, he didn't walk the walk. The disappointment he must have felt. The feeling that he let Jesus down, that he let his fellow disciples down. Peter probably felt like a failure. All those emotions were there, probably. And here's one more. Could it be that at this point of denial, where the rooster crowed, where Peter's recollection took him back to that Last Supper a few hours earlier, where he heard Jesus tell him directly that he would deny him, and he stood up and said, no, 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 absolutely not. I'll die before I deny you. Was it at that point where he heard that rooster that Peter came to grips with who he really was? That he wasn't the invincible warrior that he thought he was. That he was vulnerable. And that, like most of us, there comes points in our lives where we do fail. That there are points in our lives where we do disappoint. That there comes points in our lives where we do let the people who we love dearly, we let them down. Was it at that point where the rooster crowed that Peter really knew who he was? But church, that was before. That was before. Turn over with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, starting at verse number 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Church, where would we be if it wasn't for before and afters? Where would Peter be if he was stuck in the before? Where would Peter be if he was stuck at the denial scene? Where would Peter be if he was stuck feeling infallible and feeling like a failure and feeling like a disappointment? Jesus takes time to restore Peter, asking him three times, Peter, do you love me? Now, much is made of the language in the Greek text about this text, where Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And he uses the word agape. And Peter responds, I love you, but uses the Greek word phileo, which doesn't encompass the same meaning as agape. Phileo kind of means, well, yeah, I kind of love you like a homeboy. You my friend, yeah. But not the agape love. Much is made about what does it mean that Peter responded to Jesus not with agape but with phileo in the Greek text. Well, a lot gets murkier too when we understand that Peter and Jesus weren't speaking Greek. They were speaking Aramaic. And so somehow the author is trying to communicate something. When we go that route, we get into all type of things that makes this much more difficult than I think it really is. Why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" I think it all has to do with the fact that Peter denied him 3 times. I think it all has to do with the fact that this was done to benefit both Peter and us. So Peter, when you're out there preaching and people hear the story about how you denied Jesus 3 times, you can say, well, I asked him, Jesus asked me if I love him 3 times, and I responded 3 times. I think Jesus was responding in a way to assure and reassure Peter that everything was okay. Do you love me? You denied me 3 times, but here you are telling me and reassuring me of your love for me 3 times. Peter was a follower of Jesus. And I praise God that Jesus doesn't leave us in the before, but he takes time, he invests time in us to restore us so that we're not left in the before. And so now Peter, after being one that had denied Jesus 3 times, that was before, he now professed his love for Jesus 3 times. Peter, who refused on a former occasion to testify on behalf of Jesus, that was before. Now Jesus gives the commission to Peter to take care of his followers, his sheep, his lambs. Where would we be if we didn't have before and afters? Many of us had our sordid pasts. Many of us didn't speak up. That was before. But thank God for what he does through Jesus Christ. After the mistakes, after the failures, after the letdowns, after the disappointments, there comes restoration. Praise God that God stays committed to us even when we deny him. Praise God that he desires to pursue us and restore us. And praise God that he has the power to take one who vehemently denied knowing Jesus to dying for Jesus. Yeah, Peter denied Jesus, but as legend has it, ended up dying for Jesus. Story has it that he was sentenced to crucifixion just before 70 AD. And feeling like he was unworthy to die the same death of Jesus, he requested that he would be put upside down on the crucifix. And what do we learn from the encounter Peter had with Jesus? Follow. Follow. Through it all, Peter was a follower of Jesus. He never stopped following Jesus, and Jesus never stopped restoring Peter. Peter would make mistakes throughout his ministry, but as his death suggests to us, he didn't wallow in his mistakes. He didn't get stuck in the before, but he basked in the restoration of Jesus Christ. He opened himself up to the Lord's restoration throughout his life. And when we understand our state, church, of not being able to do anything without Jesus, we are compelled to follow. And in following Jesus, understand that even when you do the unthinkable, when you turn your back on Jesus, Jesus is available for restoration, and he'll set you right. It was the Apostle Peter who wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Listen, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have a promise of restoration. When things get rusty in our life, there's a promise of restoration. When things get cloudy in our life, there's a promise of restoration. When things get hectic in our lives, there's a promise of restoration. When we get caught up in sin, when we get caught up in immorality, there's a promise of restoration. We will never be complete damaged goods, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ will restore us. And that's what we learn from this encounter with Peter. Thank God for before and after. Thank God that many of us in this room right now have stories of what we used to be and what we are now. And thank God that many of us have hopes of what we are now that will be something different in the future. Because Jesus never stops working on us. God never stops working in us. If we're a follower of Jesus, there's a promise of restoration. And maybe you will be the next great preacher. Maybe it'll be Dean Campbell preaching and saying, let's sing the 900th verse of this song. We have a promise. It is this Jesus that I beg you to follow. It is this Jesus that I beg you to desire a close encounter with. It is this Jesus that I pray that you would make the Lord of your life. It is this Jesus that I pray that you would meet him every day of your life, every minute of your day. It is this Jesus that I hope will continue to remind you that you belong to him. That he that began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. It is this Jesus whom we follow, whom we serve. Will you make a decision today to continue to follow Jesus? Or would you make a decision today to start following him? Whatever state you stand in, if you need to be reminded to follow Jesus, we pray that you would come to Jesus right now. If you want to follow Jesus starting right today, you want to be baptized, you want to make a profession of faith, we pray that you would do that. Let's stand and let's sing this song.